Wow, I just felt the power of God to talk to you about success. I was waiting on the Lord. I heard this. All right, so we're going to talk about what it takes to get success for yourself, for your child, in academics. And then we're going to pray blessing on you.
This is the Great Shalom Broadcast, proclaiming that God wants total well-being for all children.
Welcome back, everybody. Success is our topic today. Well, what is success? Well, you define it. It's what you want. But we focus on learning disabilities, so I guess for most of you, it's going to be getting through school or getting your child through school. That doesn't mean you have to necessarily be a scholar, although it might. I know learning, quote unquote, learning disabled people who are scholars. You're listening to one. But you define what success is. What is it that you're working at? Hallelujah. And we're going to talk to you today about that. Faith and action. And we're going to mention some of the leading success teachers and researchers in today's world. But we got something a little more time-tested. So, you know, the whole deal about the whole label of learning disabled is so demoralizing and so depressing, that label. Because there comes a mindset that you can't do anything, that you're disabled sounds like a permanent lack of ability. Well, that's what it's actually talking about. And so, but I know people who fit the actual definition of learning disabled, and yet who were great scholars. And of course, we all know plenty of people who, although they may have struggled in school, have been great successes. They don't have to be a scholar, a PhD. You know, like I'm thinking Kawasaki. Right. The rich dad, poor dad guy said a lot of millionaires were C students because they do what is necessary. A lot of A students get hired as top executives or as staff. You know, they're the attorneys and the doctors that the millionaires are hiring. And so, and he talks about the different mindsets. So, it's not necessarily being a scholar, but we do have to get through some school. We have to form ourselves to achieve in whatever walk, whatever calling we have, right? So that's one reason why I never say learning disabled. It's demoralizing. It's depressing. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. Rather, I would say overcoming learning problems. We all have problems. We all have problems. And usually we learn to overcome them. If we're going to be successful people, we learn to overcome them. How? Well, first you have to have faith. You have to have a positive mindset. And positive is just not communicative enough. You know, because you can be chipper and ugly and nasty and impolite and, you know, you're still positive. I'm positive we're going to fail. So, no. And faith isn't enough either. So I heard Victor Davis Hanson being interviewed on another podcast. And he was touted as the number one success coach in America today. And he said the number one attribute for success is thankfulness. Wow. And he wasn't tying it to any particular kind of spirituality. I think we can, I think that's not wrong. We can do even better than that with some grounding. But a thankfulness projected into the future is believing something is possible, and that's faith. And another one of the great success coaches of all times, Clement Stone, said, "It is not think and grow rich." So you recognize that was Napoleon Hill's tagline. Clement Stone said, "It is not think and grow rich. It is think and then act and grow rich." So their success was in the business world. They're talking about being affluent based on your business. And that's the kind of success that they were paid to teach, of course. So I'm hopeful that this will help you. So that's what we're going to talk about, faith and the action today. So first, faith. And Victor Davis Hanson roots that in thankfulness. And that's not a bad job. I agree with being thankful. It is hard to be thankful when you are like in the third grade and you feel like you're stupid. You feel like you can't keep up with your friends. You're spending your whole life doing stuff that's hard. And especially if your authority figures in your life seem to be telling you you're stupid. It's very hard to be thankful at that point. You want to kill yourself instead, and you don't even have the power to do that in the third grade. So at this point, let me say how important it is for the authority figures to speak faith. So not boosterism, not denial, all right? So you don't tell some kid in third grade who can't read, "Oh, you're a wonderful reader." You say, "I know you're smart, and we are going to figure out how to have you read. I'm going to figure out how to teach you, and you're going to figure out how to learn. And we're going to do this." And when he does do something well, you know, point it out. "You were really diligent in that. You are really good when it comes to baseball. So let's apply those same things here in the classroom." So whatever it is, that's a kind of factual faith, right? And it's a infusing faith that the problem can be overcome. And if we model that for our children, there's another story I'm thinking of, and that was Dear Abby's father. So Abigail Van Buren and her sister were sitting in the back seat of a car and squabbling as children. You understand, they were children. And the father turned around and said to the girls, "That behavior is not worthy of you." So he did want to tell them not to do that. But he didn't say that they were bad kids. He said, "That behavior is not worthy of you." And so they wanted very much to live up to their father's expectations. And clearly that was a formative moment because she wrote about it. And it's very difficult, I know, to remember this in the heat and the thick of the battle of parenting. But anyway, that inspires me. So speaking faith about our children, to our children, and for our children, even devising scripts. Now, I am not saying just simply rehearsing affirmations. If affirmations work for you, great. If that works for your kid, great. I've seen a lot of people who just do affirmations alone, and that doesn't work. It's not an incantation. Okay, but learning to speak in a way that is full of faith is useful because it creates a mindset, and even when there is a challenge, and challenges do come, even contradictions come, to be able to work through that. Today in service, a young woman who was leading the singing said she had had a difficult week. Anxiety, depression came on her, and in her family, in her house of faith, when in doubt, worship. And so she was singing and praising and worshiping to the Lord, and it was still difficult for her. She said she was almost bent over, but she kept on, and so she asked the Lord what to say, and it came to her, I am a child of God. And so she was stamping her feet. You could just kind of see her. I pictured her like holding onto a chair and stamping her feet. I am a child of God. And she said it just broke off. All the worry, the depression, the anxiety broke off from her. And so this is an example when she felt challenged, she used her words. But it's not just words. You know, there was a whole freight train of power behind it because she was used to worshiping. She had a relationship. She had a history. She, you know, and of course she did have family around her if she had needed it. So this is what I'm saying. It's not simply dry, repetitious affirmations, but there is a power in the words. So there is the faith. And then I would say that because it's rooted in God, there is a relationship, and faith worketh by love. And so it's, I think it works better when you have the joy of a relationship with God and with the family of God. And so there is a way to go forward in the thick of the battle. However, there needs to be a going forward. There needs to be action. So these words, this mindset motivates you. The mindset helps you make choices, and the words can propel you, particularly if they're believed in. And so I'm hoping that you catch this energetically as well as in terms of your understanding, so that you adopt a faith-filled attitude so that you can overcome, or you can show your child how to overcome learning problems. Yes, I believe in practical things. You know that I do. That's why I have practical health measures and practical suggestions from really leaders in the field that may help you. And not every child has the same problem, but newsflash, for three generations, many of us have had the same problem. We have pollution in our environment. We have poor eating habits. We have bad education. And then there are other specific diagnoses, which are surprisingly common today and more common. And, you know, I think we've talked about why. We could talk about why that is. So many of these problems are not isolated instances. And even more, why we need to adopt faith and action. Because if they're coming in because of human action, then they can jolly well go out by human action. But if they become very prevalent, then there is more impetus to say, oh, well, that's just the way it is, when it is not the way it is. Or there's even resistance from the people who made it the way it is because they're making profit, and so they want to deny even the problem, let alone the solution. And particularly if there is a solution that is inexpensive and works, there might be denial because they want to resistance because they want to sell you something else. Okay, so faith and corresponding action. And there's two thoughts I have in my head. One is, if you don't know what to do, simply wait and ask God what to do, and then go on your own gut level conviction about that. Don't be hurried by the voices outside. Well, inside or outside voices that push you, because that's not God's, you know, the kind of mocking, pushing, rushing voice. That's not a godly. God is a voice that is loving, and he might say, do it now, but it's a different kind of subtleness and sureness, whereas often the enemy wants to rush you, trick you for your own, for their own benefit. Okay. And then, so just ask God. And the other thought is, if you don't know what to do, just do something. It's easier to steer a car that's already going. But I wouldn't say just do anything. You know, do what you are required and committed to do. And listen while you do it. Okay, so Faith and corresponding action is what makes for success. In a context of love and joy and a grounding in the metaphysical reality of the Bible, this is what I think. I think is much deeper, wider. It grounds it in real science, and there's a real hunger for a metaphysical or a spiritual grounding, but often doesn't jive too well with real science. So we could talk more about that, but that's my viewpoint on it. Okay, but I think that also a personal relationship with all perfect parent, Father God, works a lot better than a force, but if that's what works for you, go forward. All right, so I want to pray some scriptures to bless you. And so I've been blessed with Haggai 2:19. I'm going to read it to you. And Haggai in the Old Testament, just before Zechariah, Haggai 2:19. Is the seed still in the barn? Even including the vine, the fig tree, the pomegranate, the olive tree, it has not borne fruit. So Israel has come back to the land. They'd been in the land for a while, and they were frustrated because things weren't working well. And they had been told, well, that's because you didn't do the agreement. You didn't build the house of God. You built your own houses. And now things aren't going as you have expected. But if you will fill the agreement, then I'll fill the part of the agreement. And so, continuing in verse 19, yet from this day on, I will bless you. So this is the great God saying to the people, from this day, so they repented, and this day onward, I will bless you. Hallelujah. So I pray that for you. If this has been a seed that has landed in your heart, and you want to believe and act for your child and teach your child how to believe and act, or your children if you're an educator, then from this day on, I say in God's name, God will bless you. Repent. Whatever you have to repent of, whether it's sin or iniquities or just unbelief, right? Hallelujah. Or not building the house of God. Adopt the faith, action, attitude. Say, Lord, I repent and I receive your blessing. So from this day onward, I will bless you. Then the word of the Lord came a second time to Haggai on the 24th day of the month, saying, speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I am going to shake the heavens and the earth, and I will overthrow the thrones of kingdoms and destroy the power of the kingdoms of the nation, and I will overthrow the chariots and their riders, and the horses and their riders will go down, every one of them, by the sword of another. Well, we live in tumultuous times, don't we? And we are praying that the evil, we pray that the wheels of the chariot falls off. But it's great if the evil people fight with the evil people. And verse 23. And so all of this is going on around you, I understand. But it doesn't matter. You and your house will be blessed. Just like there was light in Goshen when there was darkness in the land of Egypt. That's the story of the 10 plagues. The Lord has got this in terms of the clashing of nations. We as mothers and as educators, we're still with our children, right? And so the Lord can do both of these things. Verse 23, on that day declares the Lord of hosts, I will take you, Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, my servant, declares the Lord, and I will make you like a signet ring, for I have chosen you, declares the Lord of hosts. What I want to say to you is that your child is chosen by the Lord for a vocation. You are chosen by the Lord for a vocation, and mothering is one of the top most important ministries. You are chosen, and God treasures you like a signet ring. But signet rings are not just beautiful rings. They're also signs of authority. And so your child has a great calling, a place of authority somewhere, sometime. as a parent and whatever occupation they're doing, perhaps in the church, they have a calling and they will need to overcome their learning problems to manifest that calling. And in fact, it may be that this is one of the contradictions, one of the challenges that the enemy has put on, because I don't believe that God chooses deficiency or weakness or difficulty for anyone, but he does use it. God does use it. And so often when we have a challenge, it can become our greatest strength when we have overcome it, and our mess becomes our message. So I am praying blessing on you that even in these tumultuous times, that God will make a peace house, a joy house, so that you can go on in educational function while the battle rages outside, and you can know that God will win that battle. Hallelujah. And that your children and your students have a great calling and a great place of leadership in some way or other. Hallelujah. For the future, any future battles. Hallelujah. We're training for leadership for tomorrow. And since we're back in the end of what Christians call the Old Testament, let's go to Malachi chapter 4. That's the last chapter in the Old Testament. It's just 6 verses. I think I've got time. For behold, the day is coming, burning like a furnace, and all the arrogant and every evildoer will be chaff, and the day that is coming will set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings, and you will go forth and skip about like calves from the stall. Okay, let's just stop there. We have tumultuous times, but we know that there is a time of judgment coming. And arrogant and evil doers do that. They think that they will rise in power and glory and comfort, and they will sell others, but they will be mistaken in the long run. And that just doesn't, crime doesn't pay. It says the Lord of hosts, the Lord of angel armies, and they will not have fruit and progeny, and that may be spiritual. But you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings. So this is S-U-N, but we believe that it is Jesus. And you remember the woman who came out and touched the hem of Jesus' garment and got a healing? She probably was touching the tassels of his prayer shawl, the tzitzit, because that's the same word here as wings. And so perhaps she knew the scripture that healing was in the tzitzit. And so she reached out because she thought that Jesus was the Messiah and even the Son of God. So there is this great meaning here for those who know the Hebrew language. And you will go forth and skip about like calves from the stall. This, of course, is prosperity. And I'm sure there's more. But verse 3. So I'm speaking healing over you. Healing. Healing. Whatever kind of healing you need. Healing for you and for your children and for your students. Because you can reach out and touch the hem of his garment. Amen. Because he is the Son. The Son. That which brings life to all of the world. And this healing will bring joy and prosperity, success, whatever that means for you. And verse 3, and you will tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the sole of your feet on the day which I am preparing, says the Lord of hosts. Verse 4, remember the law of Moses, my servant, even the statutes and ordinances which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel. 5, and yes, we need to remember our Judeo-Christian values Hallelujah. We won't go into at this time. Boy, I am tempted to, but I don't have time right now. We'll talk about that and where the name came from and all of that. This is a big deal, big conversation right now within Christianity. Verse 5, behold, I'm going to send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. And so we remember John the Baptist, and students of the end time think that Elijah will come again before the great and final coming and judgment day. Verse 6, and this is what I wanted to get to. And he, the spirit of Elijah, will restore the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the land with a curse. So John the Baptist came preaching repentance, baptism for repentance. People were repenting, and it was those people, the common people, who had washed their sins away, who had sought the Lord, who had their hearts and ears open, who in fact heard Jesus and followed Jesus, received healing from Jesus. And so, regardless of exactly the order of things and how it will play out in the end time, now today, there is a call for us, the parents, to turn our hearts to the children, and for the children to turn their hearts to the parents. There is perhaps no greater work that I see Satan doing today than bringing division and hatred between the generations. It weakens us as a people, and it weakens everyone. So, there's no greater point here than for us who are the parents, the grandparents, the educators, to speak faith with a loving heart over our children. Not a denial, not fairy tales, but speak a true faith grounded in a real personal metaphysic that God wants total well-being for all children. Have I not said this every episode for 12 and a half years? Yes. So let us turn our hearts to our Father God, and let us turn, we as the parents, turn our hearts to our children. Let us as children turn our hearts to the parents, forgive them where they need to be forgiven, because they're not perfect, they're still humans, and seek for faith and love and joy and prosperity, success. Amen. So if you've not prayed that prayer to turn your heart to the Lord, pray with me right now. So, Lord, I receive your gift of repentance, of forgiveness of sins. I repent. I admit that I have sinned. I admit that I'm lost, and I will receive your forgiveness of sins and your direction. I call you Lord. That means I'll follow your directions. I call you Savior. That means you're saving me from my sin. And I will give you my life and receive your life in the mighty name of Jesus. And if you prayed that prayer with me, then you're saved. Please contact me so I can help you connect with a good church, so you're not just a little baby, but you can grow up. Hallelujah. And I bless you. May you and your progeny increase. And may you overcome all of your learning problems. Now, why not? Because God wants total well-being for all children.
Thank you for joining us for the Great Shalom broadcast with your host, Sharon Sarles.